Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
And the wolf is at your door. You're running so with that.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And again, I'm recording this. I'm in a hotel room. I'm not in a studio. Any sound issues or whatever, you hear a train going by, sorry. Like, this is old school, real life, real crime. I record when and where I can. All right, so this is episode 2 of season 12, and I'll be continuing on Courtney Coco's voir dire, or jury selection. Now, y'all, this is stuff you have not heard in the news. The first episode I did, I didn't get through the first day of jury selection. It was an hour long, but it's not boring. This stuff, they're laying out the basis for their case and trying to seat basically 14 impartial jurors, 12 regular and 2 alternates. All right, stay tuned to the end of the show for some real life, real crime announcements. Now, back to it. I left you last about Hugo talking about eyewitnesses and things that could affect their judgment on what they saw, or how two eyewitnesses can see the same thing but describe it a little bit differently and stuff like that. So Hugo then moves on to the term principle, like principle to murder, basically, in this case. And he puts up a slide on the TV screen, and it's the movie Fargo. And he asks the jury who's seen it, and a couple of them raise their hand. And y'all go back. I should have said in the last episode, he keeps using movie clips, and he asks jurors who sees it, who's seen it, and they raise their hand. And so he does it on this one when he puts up Fargo, and one guy raises his hand again. He's like, "Mr. So-and-so, you watch way too much television," right? But that's Hugo Holland being a genius in the courtroom, making the personal connection with each juror members. Now, when he's asking them these questions, he's explaining everything. I can't tell you every word that was said. I'm kind of summarizing, but he is a genius. He's making the personal connection with each juror member in case they get on the jury. It will be very, very important that they like him and trust him if he's on the if they're seated on the final jury. All right, so principle to a crime, he puts up Fargo. He asks him, The one guy raised his hand. He said, okay, tell me about this movie. What happens? And he said, well, the husband was having financial problems, and his wife's dad was loaded, like a multi-millionaire. His wife's dad hated him, so he wasn't going to loan him any money. So what does he do? He hires these two yahoos to kidnap his wife, take her up to the cabin in the middle of the woods, and hold her hostage for ransom. Well, when they're up in the woods, one of the assholes accidentally kills the wife, shoots her by accident or whatever. So he says, then he asks the jury, he says, do you think that the husband is just as guilty as the guy who pulled the trigger? A couple of them said, yeah. A couple said, no, whatever. So he went on to further explain. He said, listen, if the husband had not hired these two yahoos to kidnap her and hold her for ransom, even though she was accidentally shot, then she wouldn't have been there, right? So they are principal to, or the husband's principal to it, even though he wasn't there when she got shot, she was there because of him, right? And I agree with that. Fuck, he's guilty as fuck. So is the other guy that was holding her hostage. And I mean, if I get my wife, I say, hey, I'm going to go rob a bank, drive the car, and I go in to rob the bank, and I accidentally shoot somebody during the robbery, and I run out with the money, and I get in, and we haul ass. Well, guess what? Cindy knew that I was going to rob the bank. She drove me. I told her I was going to rob the bank. I go in, even though the gun goes off by accident, I kill somebody during the commission of that crime, I'm guilty, and she's just as fucking guilty because she drove me there, and she knew knowledge about it. So he touches on that and moves on, okay? He says, my job is to get justice. And if you want to get justice, like I do, you want a juror that's on the jury who will listen and make reasonable decisions. And Hugo then asks each juror, would they pick someone like themselves to be on a jury? All right? And basically, he prefaced that with, he said, y'all, I'm about to give you a chance to talk yourself out of jury duty. And he asked each one of them, all 20 of them, he said, would you pick yourself to be on a jury? Could you sit there and be unbiased and listen to the factual evidence that comes in this case and make a reasonable decision? And I'm telling you, I know David Anthony Burns is guilty, but it doesn't matter what I know. It matters what I can prove in court beyond a reasonable doubt. Not beyond a shadow of all doubt, but beyond a reasonable doubt. And then he went and asked that question to each one of them. He called their name, made eye contact, right? He's had them laughing and everything. You know, he's had them serious modes. And he asked each one of them. And y'all, each one of them said yes. Oh, except for the one lady, the one lifer. She's just like, no, he's guilty no matter what. But the rest of them said, yeah, I can be fair and impartial. Okay, boom, good stuff, right? Then, y'all, the court calls a break. And during the break, I stand up. It's just us in the back of the courtroom, remember? That I told you, and the one family member behind Burns that was turning around pointing at me that Miss Stephanie went off on him. Mama Bear for me. But the Hugo comes up to us in the back of the courtroom and he says, I can't control what you do on your podcast. You know, I thought he was like joking or something. He said, I can't control what you do on your podcast, but you know, this is ridiculous or something. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you just dropped another episode today on this and it's going to affect my jury pool. I said, I didn't drop an episode today. He said, yeah, you did. And I was like, oh fuck. Yeah, I did. But I said, Hugo, listen, I titled that episode Courtney Coco's Murder Trial. I said, but I may have talked about the trial for like 12 minutes and I didn't say anything about Burns being guilty or innocent or anything that could affect the jury. All I said was the steps of the trial, like how the jury pool gets selected, blah, there, right? Opening arguments, then testimony is going to be put on by the prosecution or witnesses, whatever, evidence will be put on by prosecution. The defense has a chance to cross-examine those witnesses. And when the prosecution gets done, they say the prosecution rests. Then the defense, if they choose to, they don't have to, gets to put on their case. At the end of that, they rest, and then they have closing arguments. Prosecution gets to get up first, say their piece about whatever, summarize the case. The defense gets up and say, well, if they want to, they get to stand up and say what they want. And it's all good, right? Then the prosecution has the final say-so. They can counteract whatever defense said. Then the judge will charge the jury or give them instructions, which takes for fucking ever. And then they send them out to deliberate and to come back guilty, not guilty. So he was like, you know what? Can you come outside and talk to me for a minute? And I was like, yeah, all right. So he took me into this little side hallway, and there's two chairs and a little table there. And he sat down and he said, listen. He said, I know there's been a lot of bad blood with you and the powers that be here, right? He said, but the DA, Philip Terrell, and the Sheriff Woods, they want to start over with a clean slate. And he said, they want to offer you a peace branch. And he said, if you don't drop an episode while trial is going on, then I will give you, at the end of the trial, I will give you my entire case file, and you can run with it. You can use all my evidence and materials to do your podcast, all right? And I told him, I said, Hugo, I would never do anything to jeopardize this trial. I certainly had not planned on dropping anything while the trial was going on. So, you know, that's, I care about this case. I've been on it for over 4 years. I said, I was on it a long time before you were on it. And I would never do that. I said, you know, my career in law enforcement, why in the fuck would I want to fuck up this case? I said, I know what I can do and I can't do. And he was cool about it, you know. And then I told him a couple things that I'm not going to tell y'all about his evidence, and he agreed with me on some of it. Actually, he vehemently agreed with me on it. And I talked about Bloody Angola, an episode that we got coming up on Captain Brian Knapp's. They got murdered during a escape attempt. And Hugo was actually the special prosecutor for that also. And he said, you know, he would help me on that, et cetera. But the fact that this man took me outside and, you know, well, I think when he said they want to offer you a peace branch, I'm like, hey, I don't need a peace offering because I hadn't done anything wrong, and I still haven't. But anyway, the fact that he took me out there and had this talk with me and we reached this agreement, it meant a lot to me because, you know, Hugo Holland, I think he's done like 230 something or plus death penalty cases in cases like Courtney Coco's, where he's brought in as a special prosecutor because he's the best. All right. And it meant a lot to me. But he told me, he said, you know what? I got a lot of bad information on you in the beginning. He said, oh, well, you did a protest outside of the courthouse. I said, hell, I did the protest because Stephanie had a meeting, Courtney's mama had a meeting with the DA, Terrell, and he said there'd be an arrest in 2 weeks. It was 8 weeks later, and he wouldn't even return our phone calls. So I said, yeah, we protested peacefully. But then, you know, we went on and got everything straight. So that meant a lot to me. And I think that Hugo Holland is a genius in the courtroom from getting the watch. I wish I could quantify that for y'all. All the prosecutors I've seen and all the attorneys I've seen, the trial is totally different than anything else. A jury trial is the greatest show on earth. But to do that and to win it successfully, you have to be a bit of a showman. But more than being a showman, you got to have the evidence. And believe me, by the time you get done here in this series, you're going to know Hugo Holland had the evidence, okay? This is crazy. And look, I'm recording this Saturday after being in court all week. All right, back to it. LaCour gets to get up and talk to the jury like Hugo Holland did. And Hugo, you know, explain.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. John White, WebMD's Chief Medical Officer and host of the Spotlight On series from WebMD's Health Discovered podcast. For this special two-part episode, you'll hear up close and personal journeys about being diagnosed with a rare type of cancer, multiple myeloma.
He looked at me. I have been his patient for more than 20 years. And he said, "This is really strange. You're an African American, age 57. I've never seen this before."
This back pain that you're continually having with no signs of osteoporosis.
No signs, exactly. And I didn't have any signs of osteoporosis in my family history.
Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
I mean, just about everything in the world. But LaCour gets up and he makes this attempt to make a personal connection with the jury. And he says, "Look, y'all, I don't drink coffee anymore. I swapped energy drinks. Probably wasn't the best decision. But why is he doing this, y'all? He's trying to get these people to relate to him as a person." And whatever. He said he's from Alexandria, born and raised, and he got his degree from Southern Law School. All right, he got his degree from Southern, and he decided to go to law school because he wanted to make a lot of money and help people. And he said, "I don't know about the making money part," but he said, "I get to help people and try cases, and that's what I love." And then he goes on to tell about his wife and his kids and that he loves to barbecue. He said, "I'll barbecue anything." Why is he doing that, y'all? Because he's trying to make the connection like Hugo has with the jury. He said, and he goes on, he says, "Look, my mama couldn't afford to put me in martial arts when I was a kid." He said, "But I'm in martial arts now, and it's great exercise. And, but," he says, I'm here to represent David Anthony Burns, and he's on trial for his life for second degree murder." And he said, "I got to figure out who's good and who's not, all right, on the jury." He said, "Now, Mr. Hugo did most of my job for me, y'all. And I mean, he got up there and explained all this stuff to y'all. And I'm like, hell, what am I going to do now? What am I going to talk about? Hugo already explained everything." He said, "But I'm going to tell you this." And then he did some quote from Thomas Jefferson about jury trial process being the most important thing in civilized society, whatever the fuck, right? At this point, I think he's just kind of rambling to take up a little bit of time. But anyway, he says that it's like Thomas Jefferson said, it's his job to protect his client from the government. He said, "But that's not the jury's purpose. It's my job to protect my client. It's your job to listen to all the facts in find not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt." All right. So, or to have reasonable doubt and find him not guilty. But he goes on and he said, "But your purpose is to do that, right?" He said, "But now I want to have a conversation with you." He said, "Hugo Holland talked about police investigations. And he asked the jury to explain what they think the cop's job is in the criminal justice system. He said the cop's job is to try to figure out who did it, secure evidence, and to follow all leads." He said, "But you know what? Cops, sometimes they drop the ball." He said, "Would you be surprised if I told you I could go to the police department and make a complaint that a lady beat me up and the cops may just put out a warrant without doing any investigation?" He said, "This happens every day." He said, "I could go down there and say, 'Judge Doggett hit me,' and they'd have to arrest her on paper, or they would arrest her on paper." Y'all, arresting on paper like getting a traffic ticket, right? He said that cops would go make the warrant for me and arrest me, and they could sign me out, or I could sign myself out or whatever. He said, but the arrest on paper is just like getting a ticket so they don't fill up the jail. He said, but would anybody on this jury panel give police testimony more credibility than others? He said, you know, even though the officers took an oath, they lie. He said, everybody lies. He said, cops are human and they lie. And he said, officers get fixated and they go after a certain person and they don't want to look at anybody else. He said, it happens every day. And basically, y'all, he was bashing the shit out of the police, okay? Then he asked him, he said, you know what? Has anybody on this panel have a suicide or accidental death in their family? And several people raised their hand, and he went through them, talked to each one about it. He said, I've experienced suicide in my life, and that's a horrible thing, right?
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried AstroPro? It's faster, bro. Oh. Right? AstroPro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. AstroPro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this. And you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use AstroPro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. AstroProAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
AstroPro and go. Accidental deaths are a horrible thing. But they're an accident. You know, y'all, I'm thinking he's laying down his pre-work. He's going to call Courtney Coco's death an accident. Accidental, she drank herself to death. Well, we'll see how that works out for him. And I'm trying to sum this up so this episode won't be so long. Then he asked, he said, you know, eyewitness testimony could be wrong. Yeah. For reasons like people could be on drugs. Right? And do you think eyewitnesses get it right all the time? He said, I'm here to get justice for the Constitution and my client, David Anthony Burns. He said, don't make assumptions that put innocent people in jail. My client's on trial for his life. It's your job to listen to the facts and come back, find my client not guilty if the facts aren't proven. And y'all, basically, I'm paraphrasing and summing it up. So LaCour gets done. He sits down. And now they do what they call challenge for cause, okay? Now, there's three ways a potential juror can get ruled out of the jury pool. One is a challenge for cause. Two is the defense can strike a jury member. They get X amount of strikes. Or the prosecution can strike a jury member. And they don't have to give a reason why, all right? So we're going to deal with the challenge for causes first. They send the 20 people out, and they do challenge for causes. And that's where the judge says, okay, who do you challenge for cause, Mr. LaCour, and who do you challenge for cause, Mr. Hugo? And they were kind of going back and forth a little bit. When the judge says, well, you know what? I'm personally kicking out number 5, number 6, and number 19. And she gave various reasons that, like, the one lady was like, fuck that, he's guilty. The guy at the convenience store, he had to call the sheriff's office on him and hated his guts for, you know, whatever Burns was doing at the store. I'm not going to make any assumptions because I don't know. But they go on, they strike those immediately. Hugo challenged one of the judge's strikes and says under Article 797, paragraph whatever, the opinion shall not be sufficient grounds to declare court can think he can't be impartial. Judge excused him anyway for cause. Then LaCour challenged another, saying that had a relationship with Stephanie. Hugo rebutted and said she had a relationship with Stephanie, but she could be fair. Well, judge dismissed that one too. That was number 4, I think. Then LaCour said he challenged one saying they watched too much CSI. The judge denied that challenge. And then they all agreed to kick another guy off because he couldn't hear this gentleman that was sitting on the back row. So that left 14 members. 6 were struck before they take another little break. And they come back and they decide. Now, Hugo took the family, Stephanie and the aunts, in the room and said, okay, who did y'all like? Who didn't you like? Whatever. They had their little list. The LaCour went with Burns, I'm sure, asked him the same thing. And they come back and court convenes, and they go on peremptory strikes. Now, remember, I told you the defense gets so many and prosecution gets so many. In those strikes, LaCour struck 3 jurors, and Hugo Holland struck only 1, all right? So at that time, we're down to 10 juror members left. There were 10 left, and they bring them back in. They excuse the ones that they challenged for cause and the peremptory strikes. They got them out of the courtroom. Judge tells the rest of them, swears them in at 3 p.m., raise your right hand, you know, whatever, you swear to solemnly discharge your duties, da 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 da, whatever. And they all agree, okay? Then the judge tells them, says, look, she gave him instructions. She said, you know, when you leave here, I don't want you talking to your family members about this case. I don't want you listening to any news media or any type of platform that can say anything about this case. And I'm sure she was talking about real life, real crime in there, but without saying it. She said, don't talk about it, don't research it, and y'all may like Mr. LaCour or Mr. Hugo, but when you see him from this point on in the courthouse, don't even look him in the eye. Don't say hi to him. Don't say good morning, because Mr. Hugo may not say it as nice as a good morning as Mr. LaCour does, and y'all may, you know, that may influence you in some way. So just don't do it. Don't research anything. Don't talk to anybody. Don't do anything. And if anybody tries to contact you, then you report it to the court immediately. She said, it's my job to make sure y'all are taken care of and you can execute your job as jury members, all right? So she told me you could bring a bottle of water to the courtroom, but no food, no gum, and no phones allowed. And she said that we're going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning, so get here by 8:30. So y'all, they leave, and then they do a couple of more expert things or whatever. They had some arguments that Hugo and LaCour did. Not really that important for me to waste my time telling you about, okay? So the next day, the next morning, they bring in jury panel number two. It's the same exact thing, y'all. Same questions are asked. The LaCour wrote the podcast. He asked every single one of them, how long you been listening to Real Life for Crime? How long you been listening to podcasts and all that? And a lot of them, only a couple of them said they had heard the podcast, but he harped on that big time. They went through the same evidence. Like Hugo used the same movie clippings, and the same thing about eyewitnesses and the beating to death in the courtroom with the chair and Fargo, the movie, how eyewitnesses descriptions can vary, but they still have the right person or whatever. And y'all, I think the only difference was on that day, Hugo also explained hearsay, which means if Cindy tells me something or somebody tells Cindy something and she tells me, I can't get up in court and testify to what Cindy heard from another person because it's hearsay. All right. And that's going to be very important as the trial goes on. But they also explained about expert witnesses, that expert witnesses can give an opinion based off their knowledge. All right. But you don't have to accept that opinion. Very, very important coming up in the case and what things I'm going to tell you about. All right, so LaCour gets up and does his same spiel, except this time, he bashes the police again. Police lie, police dirty, and they focus on an innocent person, and the cops are bad, and whatever the fuck, right? Same shit, but more vehemently, all right? But he's still trying to make his personal connection with this jury. Like Hugo's doing it again on day two. Same thing, calling their names, da 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 da. But LaCour's like, I like to barbecue, my wife, kids, whatever. But LaCour goes further on this day. He said, who here believes in a grand jury? He said, obviously my client is sitting here because a grand jury indicted him. He said, but you ever heard the statement that you can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich? He said, well, you can. He said, when they have the grand jury, the prosecution gets to put on all their stuff and we don't even get to be in there, and it's secret and it's just bull. And my client shouldn't be sitting here because he was based up, he's indicted by a grand jury when a grand jury can indict a ham sandwich. Now, listen, that fucking pissed me off. That's just bullshit. But I guess that's his opinion of the legal system that he's working for. And I guess if I was a defense attorney, well, fuck that. I wouldn't do that. The legal process is what it is. Listen to this. And when he's standing up, they're talking to him, he starts, now, y'all, I can't believe none of y'all have any objection to the death penalty. And I'm like, death penalty? And he said, yeah. And the whole jury's kind of looking at him like he's fucking stupid. And he said, yeah, the death penalty. When I do these cases, at least one or two people's got an objection to the death penalty. And none of y'all have an objection to the death penalty in this case. And I'm like, motherfucker, this ain't a death penalty case. So I'm thinking, I'm screaming in my head, I can't believe this asshole's saying this. And the judge had to stop and said, stop, Mr. LaCour. This is not a death penalty case. Why are you talking about the death penalty? He's like, oh, yeah, you're right, Your Honor. This ain't a death penalty case. whatever. So basically, it's the same spiel as day one, other than LaCour got it wrong about the death penalty. Holy shit, if I was David Anthony Burns, I'd have been like, what the fuck? But he bashes the police. He, whatever. Everybody's out to get his client. And he didn't do anything, what have you. So at the end of that second panel, right, we go back to, they send him out, and they go to challenge for cause. Well, again, the judge dismissed three jurors for whatever reason, because of something they said, or like, I can't be unbiased because of the podcast, or whatever it may be. She kicks three of them off immediately. Then, now, y'all, on this day, I told you they still had their strikes. The defense and prosecution get so many. I think it's 14 total. Oh, no, 12, 14, whatever it is. So they go back and they say, okay, come back in with your strikes. The court starts striking people. Boom, boom. And he goes back to day one. Now, here's the deal. They can strike from the first panel that's seated already and been sworn in. They can go back and use their strikes on those people too. So once he got done striking the people from this day, he went back and started striking people from day one. All right. And when he got to his 10th strike, Hugo Holland said, what number is that for you? He said, number 10. And Hugo Holland said, Judge, I object. He has dismissed 10 jurors using his peremptory strike, and all of them were white. Okay. Hadn't heard that one before. Of course, I wasn't keeping up with the colors and everything, or the race, not the colors, the race of the potential jurors. And the judge was like, whoa, she's kind of taken back about it. And LaCour was kind of taken back about it. And Hugo was like, hey, I'm challenging on dismissing on race. And the judge said she had to look at it. And LaCour said it's not race. And the judge says, you know what, I'm not seeing it. Because they went back and said, well, there were only so many African-Americans on the first panel and so many on the second panel. Whatever. Judge let it in. And they bring the jurors back in once they got done with the strikes. And we now have 14 people. The rest of them dismissed. We have 14 people seated on the trial for David Anthony Burns. Second-degree murder of Courtney Coco. The rest of them are dismissed. Those 14 are sworn in, okay? And the jury is sat at 2:45 p.m. Let me digress for a minute. I'm going to go back and tell you on the second day, the courtroom, Courtney's side. The second day, we sat on the front row. The very front pew, that's what I call them pews, bench, I guess. The very front pew was me, number one, up against the pew. I can reach out and touch the wall with my right hand. Beside me was Miss Stephanie. She's holding a picture. Not that day she wouldn't hold a picture. But Miss Stephanie, then it's Lynn, then Michelle. And then we had a bunch of lifers there too, y'all. Actually, our side of the courtroom was full. And the people were there supporting it. There were a couple people there on Burns' side sitting behind him. Of course, the lawyers are dressed in different.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. John White, WebMD's Chief Medical Officer and host of the Spotlight On series from WebMD's Health Discovered podcast. For this special two-part episode, you'll hear up close and personal journeys about being diagnosed with a rare type of cancer, multiple myeloma.
He looked at me. I have been his patient for more than 20 years. And he said, this is really strange. You're an African-American, age 57. I've never seen this before.
This back pain that you're continually having with no signs of osteoporosis.
No signs, exactly. And I didn't have any signs of osteoporosis in my family history.
Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Color suits and ties and everything. Burns was dressed in different clothes. And, you know, it goes through, right? But there's a lot of breaks during the day and all that. But anyway, jury set. Of course, there's news coverage. And that's the day I told y'all. I did a video post. I said, hey, the jury is set. I had made a deal not to say anything about the process as long as it was going on, which I told y'all today about, and then I deal with Hugo Holland. And the next step is what? It's opening arguments. And I don't know how far I'm going to get into this, because I'm going to set it up for you and with the judge's instructions, et cetera, before the prosecution begins their stuff. So opening arguments, Anthony Burns is again in court. He's wearing a long sleeve white shirt and black pants. Okay, Mr. Hugo Holland today has on a dark gray suit and a maroon tie. Mr. LaCour had on a black plaid suit, I think a dark gray tie. Now, this opening arguments day, this is the third day. Now we got a crowd. All right, I'm telling you, Courtney Coco's side is full. I'm sitting on that front bench all the way to the right. Stephanie's sitting beside me. All the Courtney supporters have on either pink or Justice for Courtney shirts. Stephanie is holding a picture of Courtney. I'm sitting right beside her. I'm taking notes. Again, the jury is brought in. So when court starts, you have to all rise for the jury coming in, and you have to remain standing while they come in. They have their assigned seats. That's the same seats they have every time for trial. And every time there's a break or whatever, and they come back in, we have to rise until they're seated, and then we're seated, and then the judge says, attorneys make it known who you are for the record. And LaCour stands up and says, I'm LaCour, attorney representing David Anthony Burns, and my assistant co-counsel is such, representing David Anthony Burns, and let the record show he's here in court. And it goes to Hugo Holland. Hugo Holland says, I'm special prosecutor Hugo Holland for the state of Louisiana. My co-counsel, whatever his name is, y'all, I can't remember it, and the sergeant for Louisiana State Police are present with him. So the judge says, let the record reflect that, you know, all parties are here in court, the jury see it correctly, what have you, what not. So the judge starts to give instructions. And she says, this is a criminal case by indictment. And the clerk, she said, Madam Clerk, will you stand up and read the indictment? And I'm going to paraphrase it for y'all because I was trying to write fast. But y'all have already heard this before. So the clerk stands up and says, this is a case of Louisiana versus David Anthony Burns, number 351930, section 2, in Rapides Parish, Louisiana. The charge that defendant David Anthony Burns committed second-degree murder on or about 3rd October 2004 when he killed a human being, Courtney Coco, during a robbery of Coco against the laws of the state of Louisiana. And I'm paraphrasing for y'all because I couldn't write it all down fast enough. Basically, and he was indicted by the grand jury, and they gave the date, and it was signed by Hugo Holland, special prosecutor. So the judge then says, listen, opening statements are about to begin, but opening statements are not evidence. It's just the outline of what the defense and the prosecution are going to say at trial. Prosecution then has to prove their case. The defense does not have to. And at the conclusion, there will be closing arguments as to what the evidence has shown. Now, when the trial begins,
The state, Mr. Hugh Holland, will go first, and they'll put on all their evidence, all their witnesses, and prove their case to you. But as that's going on, the defense, Mr. LaCour, has a right to get up and cross-examine the witnesses that Mr. Hugo Holland is putting on to prove his case. When Mr. Hugo Holland gets...
Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/RLRC and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/RLRC.
It's done. He will say the state rest, and then if they choose to, Mr. LaCour can put on a defense for David Anthony Burns. She said, but they don't have to. He said, if they choose not to put on a defense, you can't hold it against them. He said, then we're going to have closing arguments. Mr. Hugo Holland gets to get up and give his closing arguments first, which is going to be the summation of his case and why he thinks you should find David Anthony Burns guilty of second-degree murder beyond a reasonable doubt. Then Mr. LaCour, if he chooses, will get to do his closing arguments. And then Mr. Hugo Holland gets to have the last say-so. Then once they get done with their closing arguments, I'm going to give you instructions. It's called charging the jury. I'm going to give you detailed instructions on legal terms. I'm going to give you detailed instructions on what it takes for second-degree murder to be proved beyond a reasonable doubt. It's going to take a while, but I'm going to do everything. It's called charging the jury. All right. She says the jury must rely on memory and not take notes. And that it is the jury's duty to vote guilty or not guilty. During the trial, lawyers may make objections, etc. Ignore those, right? They may make objections. I'm a rule on, and then I'll tell you if you're to pay attention to that or not, right? And or I'll overrule one party and say your objection is no good. Or if the objection is sustained, then I'll give them instructions on how to continue. She said, I'm a referee. I don't take sides. She said, if you look up here and you see me on my computer or my cell phone or whatever, or I'm flipping through a book, she said, doesn't mean I'm not listening to the witness testimony. It doesn't mean I'm not aware of what's going on in court. Just means that I'm doing my job. I'm probably looking up something about the law or something about, you know, procedures or whatever. She said, but I assure you that I'm paying attention. So don't pay attention to me during the trial. You give all your energy and attention to what's being said, what evidence is being put on. You've got to make your decision based off of only the allowable evidence in the courtroom. That's why you can't take notes. And when you go back there to vote after I charge you as the jury, then you are going to have to make your decision, and you'll have your discussions, you'll vote, and you'll go through it, and you'll either come up with guilty or not guilty, or if you can't reach a verdict, it'll be a hung jury. She said, y'all are the fact finders, all right? Then the judge asked the lawyers, do y'all want to sequester the witnesses? Y'all, when they sequester witness, that big long witness list, which I didn't read to you, you don't want, as the prosecution or defense, you don't want people that are going to be testifying, especially against each other, and as to their facts in the case, you don't want them to be in the courtroom to hear the other testimony that's going on, right? The judge doesn't want these potential witnesses to be influenced by what's already been testified to. Happens in every murder trial. I've been sequestered most of my life, it seemed like, right? Before I was called in to testify. Now, after you are sequestered and you come in and you testify, the court can release you, and then you can go sit down and watch it, or they reserve the right, one party, the defense or the prosecution, maybe reserve the right to call you again, and you have to go back and be sequestered. LaCour wants all of them sequestered, all the witnesses. Now, that doesn't apply to family members, y'all. Like Miss Stephanie is going to have her say or whatever. They get to stay in. They're not like really involved in the case as far as the factual part of what the murder and everything else. So they brought in one witness, a black male. I guess he was there, and the judge wanted to get him out of court, tell him to come back in the morning, and swore him in. His name was Griffith. She brought him in and had him raise his right hand. He saw him to swear to tell the whole truth, blah, blah, blah. He says, yes, I do. She sent him out and said, come back tomorrow morning. So the court's adjourned. And the lawyers are prepared to give their open statements. Now, episode 3, I'm going to tell you the open statements, and they are fire, people. I'm telling you, they are fire. On both sides. I'll give them both credit. But I really wish I could have taken every word down, but I got a lot. I got about 40-some more pages of stuff. The open statements, I'll cover on the next episode. But I'm going to tell you the tension in the room. David Anthony Burns, the whole time I'm watching him, I can see him. He's to my left. He just sits there and backs up against the chair and he's twiddling his thumbs. I'm like, with a blank expression on his face. And me, fuck, if I was on trial for my life,
I don't know. I guess I don't know what I would be doing. Obviously, there's been no plea bargain, offer or accepted, right? David Anthony Burns is hell-bent. He's taking this shit to trial. Guess what? It's about to happen, Captain. Opening arguments are coming, and as soon as the opening arguments are done, the first witness will be put on. So I'm going to conclude today's episode. Stay tuned, y'all. The third is the most powerful yet. You need to hear the open arguments. There's stuff in there about real life, real crime, and me. And it's fire. But again, today I'm not recording in my studio. I'm in a hotel room. I've been here now 7 days. And tomorrow will be 8th, and it'll be 10 to 13 probably before I get to go home. But I'm trying to get ahead on these episodes and record it so we can release them to y'all. I promised you this. We entered into a partnership with Workhouse Productions. It's a small company owned by Mike Agravino, who's been in the business for over 30 years. And it's the right partnership for RRC. We were going to be releasing weekly episodes. There will be no more weeks that you don't get to hear real life, real crime. All right? Guaranteed. You're guaranteed to get 40 episodes a year. 4 10-season episodes. And Patreon and Convicts, you're going to get a hell of a lot more. Including this week, you're getting your first one called War. And that's where I'm going to go into, and I've been holding on to this juice for 4 years. I'm going to tell you every shitty thing that happened to me, and including the one that set me off this week. But I'm going to tell you that, and I'm not going to release it to the general public, at least not yet, because I'm about to sue the fuck out of everybody. And I've got calls, okay? But that'll be in your episode War. And I got to thank you, Patreon Convicts, for subscribing, because I would not be able to sit here and do this if you didn't do it. David Anthony Burns would not be in jail right now if y'all hadn't backed me from the beginning. You're going to get more episodes. You're going to get more stuff. I promise you that. Hey, all lifers, I love you to death. If you can't be a Patreon or convict, then I just love you just as much. The support this week has been overwhelming, not only for me, but especially for Courtney Coco's family from all around the world. Lifers rule. I've always said that. And, you know, me winning all the awards because lifers rule, beating all the biggest shows in the world. So I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Y'all, at the time I'm recording this, I just got locked up in Facebook jail again. All right? They're locking me up like once a week now, it seems. And so I would encourage you to go to the App Store and download the Real Life, Real Crime Community app. And y'all, it's free. You go to the app. I'm posting in there before I post on Facebook. I'm answering in there before I answer anything on Facebook. And guess what? I can't be put in jail on my own fucking app, because I'm the only one that censors it, okay? So Facebook's locking me up fucking left and right, and I don't even know what I'm doing. Honest to God, I don't. I'm not saying anything really bad or anything. I'm not cursing or showing guns or any shit like that. The Real Life Real Crime Community app has everything. It has our store. It's our website. It has well over 10,000 users now. It has all kinds of true crime stuff on it. It has everything Real Life, Real Crime times infinity, right? You could collect coins, for being interactive. It's just all kinds of shit. It has updates on our other cases. Anything you could imagine Real Life, Real Crime or all our other social media put together in one spot times 10, all right? Go check it out. Real Life, Real Crime community app. It's free. You'll see me there first, all right? Convicts are our patrons that didn't swap over. Convicts my term, play on words, for subscribers there. But if you're there, you're a lifer, and I love you, okay? And so stay tuned. Lots of great stuff coming. We're Next week, we're going to announce about the Crew Bash. Tickets will go on sale. It'll be February 3rd and 4th in downtown Baton Rouge at the Basin. The 3rd is the VIP event, and that ticket gets you in for both nights. The VIP event is where basically we get to hang out and party and take pictures and sign autographs and hang out with y'all, get the one-on-one experience, and we have the club for the whole night, and we party hard. Oh, and we're going to do auctions again for LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. We have so much being donated, and I'm going to list all the people that have donated all items to be auctioned off. Some will be auctioned, and some of them we're going to do the raffle tickets again like we've been doing the last couple of years. But this year, you're going to have a choice where you can scan the QR code or you can buy a hard ticket, right? Me personally, I don't fuck with the QR codes. I don't get it. But my wife and everybody else do.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. John White, WebMD's Chief Medical Officer and host of the Spotlight On series from WebMD's Health Discovered podcast. For this special two-part episode, you'll hear up close and personal journeys about being diagnosed with a rare type of cancer, multiple myeloma.
I started in myeloma nearly 25 years ago. And at that time, the average expectation of life in someone with myeloma was maybe 1 to 2 years. But even just in this last 10 to 12 years, we have doubled, if not tripled, the average survival of patients. I saw a new patient this week, and we had this conversation that based on what we've done over the last decade, my expectation is that patient's going to live more than 10 years.
Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But me, I'm old school. If I'm going to give you $20 for a ticket or whatever, I think the ticket's going to be $10. Is it $10 for one? $10? I don't remember what it's been. I think it's $15 for one or $10 for 100, something like that. Don't quote me on that. But we are going to auction some stuff off Friday night at the VIP event. Saturday night, after I do my live podcast, and it's going to be a throwdown adult version, we're going to do the drawings for the big winners for our prizes. And y'all, we have prizes galore. And we'll get into that. We'll do a special drop for that. But it's important. We're raising money for the Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. And they save lives every day. And if you're an organ donor from Greece and or you want to be an organ donor and you're from Greece, you can go to lopa.org, go to the sign up page. It takes like 2 minutes. Sign up, give the gift of life and sight and whatever. Y'all, they do so much stuff. And I know I need to have Miss Lori still on one day to explain everything because I still don't get it all. But it's a worthy cause and we're raising money for them. I end every show talking about them because I love them. I know people who are alive today because they've received transplants. I know people that can see today because they've received eyes. It's huge. And recently, a dear friend of ours and I've known long before I got into podcasts, I used to work with, had an experience with them. And she thanked me. She said, you know, it was her toughest time, but these are the best people in the world. And I wouldn't have known about them had I not heard about it through Real Life or Crime and You. So we're going to support it, but the Crew Bash is going to be awesome. Of course, we're going to have a hotel downtown with a special rate. We'll have an X amount of block of rooms. Like last year, it was during Mardi Gras time, and we sold out rooms, right? At our cheap rate was like $120 a night. Well, guess how much the rooms went for after that? Up to $400 a night because it was Mardi Gras and everybody was coming in. And this year, the 3rd and the 4th, that is before Mardi Gras, it's before the big parades, but not too much before, like 2 weeks ahead of time. It is the Pro Bowl weekend. So it's the weekend before the Super Bowl. So it's not going to mess up any Super Bowl parties or anything. But I'm going to tell you something. You better get your tickets because we're taking it to the next level this year. We already got fans coming in from Australia. Robesy, shout out to you. And we got people won tickets from all over the United States. And I know they're going to sell out fast, so I'll let you know when they go on sale. Your Patreon and your convicts, that if you're whatever level it is, you know you get your discount on the tickets and all that. So, but that's it. A lot of exciting things coming up. Check out Bloody Angola, my other podcast that I co-host with Jim Chapman. It's fire, people. Jim does the historian part. I do the Woody Overton part. It's downloadable anywhere you can get a podcast. It doesn't matter what device you use or anything else. Just like Real Life, Real Crime, go join the app, first of all. That's important. So we get away from Facebook. But we have the Real Life, Real Crime crew page. It's over 38,000 members on that. On Facebook, I have my regular page, which I can't accept any more friends for because I'm over 5,000. I have Woody Overton public page. I have the Real Life Real Crime public page. We have the Real Life Real Crime Lanyap group. I'm on Instagram at Real Life Real Crime or at Overton Woody. My prayers go out to Miss Barbara Blunt's family. Y'all don't forget about her. If you have any information, keep calling it in. We are still working the case. Livingston Parish Sheriff Jason R. is still working the case. I can't tell you what's going on recently, but we need help. Somebody knows something. You know, call it in. Let's try to get justice for Miss Barbara. You go back and listen to the Barbara Blunt series. That's the one that haunts me, y'all. Then, of course, you know, justice for Kim Womack. We got that case turned from an accident to they're investigating as a homicide, although it's cold. But at least they're doing that, and the family got media coverage. And of course, justice for Mary, we got that. Y'all lifers got that. And they told that family they would never get an arrest in that case, and we proved them wrong. In less than a week after I did the call to action, we got two arrests. The husband, Gerald Pouchot, who pled out to 60 years for strangling his wife, Mary, to death. 60 years, and they were married, I think, like 41 or 42 years. And it's because y'all made it happen. Again, Patreon convicts, thank you so much. Enjoy your episode war. It's not to enjoy. It's me fucking going off about the shit. But you deserve it. And I appreciate y'all. All lifers love you. I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
The other rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, you run in zone, that's for sure.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.